You ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builder Show. Today, I speak with Mushfaq Sarkar. Mushfaq has loads of experience in the content site space. He's done around 180 website deals, buying, selling, and brokering over the last 12 years. He buys sites, grows them, and flips them for a profit. And we talk about why he's decided to start holding onto sites a little longer than he has done so in the past. So I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. We discuss tons of actionable tips that you can apply quickly and easily to your sites today. And we also talk about expired domains and the future of content sites. I hope you enjoyed the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builder Show. Today, we're going to be talking to Mushfaq Sarkar. Mushfaq is a serial website flipper and owner of a website flipping newsletter called The Website Flip, which truly is a great read. Mushfaq has a lot of experience buying and selling websites, so I thought I'd bring him onto the show to hear about his experiences. Welcome, Mushfaq.
Thank you, Mark. Really good to be here. Really excited to talk to you guys today.
So you're based in Chicago, right? So what time is it over there right now?
It's 8 a.m. Okay. Yeah,
got you up early for the call.
Yeah, I'm an early riser, so no worries. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for taking the time out of your day. Just to kick off, just for the purpose of the audience, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Right. Yeah. So I started in the website investing world in 2008. So I was building sites from scratch. Then I sold my first site in early 2010, and it was sold to, which is now Slashdot Media, so it's a big media brand. And it was in, you know, traditional old telephone VoIP niche. So I was affiliate for Skype when they were very young, you know, those days. Nowadays, nobody uses those VoIP type services, but they acquired it for a bigger play, and they have owned many of these brands. So anyways, but through that process, you know, I had used escrow.com in the early days. So it's like, you know, I saw the whole process and I saw that, hey, it's pretty lucrative to just build sites and sell them, right? And that's when I, you know, got introduced to Flippa, slowly started buying and selling sites on Flippa and building a small following of people who wanted to buy sites. So I would buy them, grow them, and then sell them. And over the years, it's been about 175 sites now, probably about 180. And mostly smaller sites, and then now going into bigger sites, a few six-figure deals, growing, and over time. With the flips, I've been also having a newsletter on the side, the Website Flip, where I talk about the case studies, the growth that I do on a monthly basis. I share my insights on the industry, what's working, what's not, and essentially just, you know, give back as much as possible.
Yeah, and I mean, just to to blow your trumpet a little bit. There's, you know, the newsletters are great, and all the value you kind of add and you share on kind of social media is great. I think it's good for everyone. And
thanks.
And clearly you got a lot of experience with 175 sites under your belt. That's not surprising, but
yeah.
I mean, I know you've been doing this 12 years, right? But that's still a website a month on average.
There used, you know, earlier days it was, you know, when I started, you could buy sites for very cheap, honestly, around the 15x multiple. The industry was not so educated back then, and now with all the content out there and the calculators that, you know, Empire Flippers and everybody kind of understands the value of their sites now. They can go through that process. Early on, it was the Wild West. I mean, nobody knew. So I could buy sites for very cheap, right? And honestly, I could keep it for a month or a few weeks, improve it, and then sell it for what the market really was at, which is 25x, 20x. Yeah. So it was quick flips, you know, quick flips. Nowadays, my hold is 6 months minimum to 2 years, right? And that's why I'm doing bigger deals now. I don't buy those sites that are making $100-$200 a month, make it $1,000 and sell. It's more buy sites that are making $1,000, get them to 15 or 20K and then sell, right? So it's just a bigger level.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, I was gonna go into this later, but I mean, multiples are kind of going up all the time, right? I mean, since you say 15X, but and now they're 35, 40X, even more in some cases. Like, do you see that continuing in your view?
I do. You know, niche, we kind of live in this bubble, this niche world, right? Like, okay, and you can see that in the Facebook groups, kind of are detached from the entire world of media, right? And we're looking at ourselves as, okay, we build up a niche site, but we forget that we own the audience, right? The audience is coming to us, the eyes, the visitors, the readers. And look, those bigger companies that have figured it out, the media brands, they have figured out how to monetize that much better. And they sell for SaaS multiples, which is in the 7X yearly, 10X yearly, right? Yeah. That's about, you know, 120X multiple or something like that. It's ridiculous. Our industry hasn't figured that out, even though we have the traffic, right? And that's the future, and that's where it's going. If it's just more recurring, more readership, more, you know, building out a real moat around your business and not just a niche site, right? So that, I think it's going to keep going up as we figure out how to better monetize and better structure our businesses.
Yeah, and I think demand's getting higher as well. More and more people are coming into this space, more and more investors are coming into this space. So that's just going to drive up the price too for good quality sites. So I think there's a number of reasons why. I agree too. I don't think it's going to plateau anytime soon.
No, for sure.
Cool. So, as we said, you know, you've bought a lot of sites over your time. With all that experience that you have, if you could highlight a couple of things that you've learned in all of those deals, what would you say they were?
Right. Yeah. So buying, you know, there's the growth, right? Let's just talk about maybe the buying and selling part, right? There's a lot of deals out there. I mean, if you're looking through Empire Flippers, Motion Invest, Investors Club, your Facebook groups, there's probably hundreds of deals. I review maybe 20 to 50 deals a week, right? And the most important thing is the red flags, looking out and due diligence, right? What's the red flags? And I can list some out. For example, you know, sellers that are not willing to talk to you. I mean, this is really common. You know, they post a listing up and they don't respond. They don't give you the data that you need. Just walk away. There's another deal that's gonna pop up, right? I have heard people message me and say, hey, you know, I really like this site, but the seller's not being responsive. The first answer, just walk away. Yeah. You're not going to get any more help later down the road when you are in closing if you're not getting any help right now. Other things, you know, proof of screenshots, you know, I've seen sellers that are very lazy at taking screenshots, you know, not showing the affiliate tags, not showing the proper dates, not willing to go through the process of taking 12 months of screenshots and putting it in a Google Drive or a folder and sharing it. So, you know, those things are all, you know, seller red flags. If they're hiding data, they're going to hide much more later down the road, right? And then, you know, the one many things with due diligence is just knowing how to use Ahrefs or SEMrush and Google Analytics, whichever public tool you're using, Google Ahrefs or SEMrush, partnered with Google Analytics and Google Search Console, finding the bad backlinks, finding the traffic trends, looking at all of that, tying that back into the revenues, P&L that the seller has shared with you. Does it make sense for that niche? So all of that's mostly intuition. I've kind of built up my own 5-minute sniff test, so I can look at a site within 5 minutes, tell if I'm interested to go deeper or just walk away, right? So I think that intuition is needed in this industry if you're going to do acquisitions as frequently as I do.
Yeah, I was going to kind of ask you that next. So, I mean, when you, obviously Flippa has a lot of sites, right? You're doing 20 a week, but there's if you look over all of the places where you can buy sites, there's a lot to look at. So, I mean, is there any you just skip over it straight away because you're not interested either because it's the niche or because it's just something else that you've just learned that's probably not worth my while going into.
So easy one is, I only look for brandable domains. So back in the day, there were sites like Best Kitchen, something, right? That doesn't work today. I personally don't even buy those, even if it's a quick flip, because I know the buyer on the other end is looking for a brandable domain. So brandable domain is one. 6 months of traffic trends, if I see a Google Analytics traffic trend that goes up and then down, I'm just walking away, right? Monetization, I like to do affiliate and ads, that's my expertise. If it's anything other than that, I walk away. But when you look at a Flippa listing, it's the high level details are there where you can just see it and just walk away, like the traffic trends, the topic. There's not a niche that I don't enter. I have done every niche out there, so it's not that, but I'm sure different buyers have different criteria on that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So you mentioned that, you mentioned you're holding a little bit longer now. I guess 6 months is still pretty short in some circumstances. Yeah. What proportion would you say are kind of like the more short term versus, I guess the longer terms is less of them because there's only so many you're going to hold for a longer term. What are the type that you will hold for longer? Why are you holding them for longer and not others?
Right. Good question. So my amount of deals I'm doing is much lower now because of multiples tightening up. So my criteria has gotten much more strict. So I'm only picking the sites that I see a potential for not only those easy growth wins where I can 10x revenue, and I can give an example of that a little bit later, but I'm also looking at a vertical play. So I have two verticals that I am currently in, outdoor and relationships and dating niche. And my goal there is to build out a moat around my outdoor. So I have one site, I bought Facebook groups, I bought digital products, I bought different assets to kind of build a business around that and adding more and more sites. So, what I'm doing now is for those, it's like a 3-year hold because I want to build that up and then sell it to hopefully a strategic buyer rather than, you and I, because you and I are going to pay typical market multiples. A strategic buyer, if it happens, will pay 2x that multiple, double, because they see the value there. So, that's what I'm looking for, building out a vertical asset within a specific niche. And then, those are 2-3 years. And then I do smaller, I do a lot of expired domains. I buy from marketplaces, I buy from auctions and just do experiments. That's where I try things so that I can share and apply to my actual sites. So it's like a playing ground. And those are smaller flips, like I will hold for a year. And if it doesn't get traction or it's not enough revenue for me to get excited and work on it, I sell it.
So are you able to share some of those experiments you've done, particularly with expired domains?
Expired domains. So I have one expired domain that's, I bought it from a private marketplace. And it's in the renewable energy niche. So it's very lucrative. So when I do expired domains, I do it in niches that are more lucrative than Home Goods or those, because I can just go and acquire those sites. There's 100 sites in kitchen, Home Goods, parenting, blogging, and all of that stuff. It's those higher tier niches like finance, energy, dating, you know, those topics. It's harder to find quality sites in there because new niche site builders are not going to build a site in those niches and get traction quickly. Yep. So, you know, so that's why I use expired domain. So renewable energy niche, you know, I bought a main domain that was a DR50, very authoritative backlinks. And then I built a site, and then I bought another domain, right? That's now redirecting to a subcategory page, adding more boost to it. That's a lower DR for the second domain. However, it's very niche relevant for that specific category page. And now, you know, it's because it's a tough topic, it's taken 8 months to start getting any traffic. And now it's ramping up and, you know, making a couple $100s. And because my technical background, day job, is in renewable energy. So I eventually will probably make that my consultancy, you know, site, so that in the future when I leave my day job, that will become like my, you know, I still be involved in that world, cool. Right? So it's a very, very long-term play for me. And surprisingly, I'm ranking for, you know, in renewable energy, there's a lot of venture capital firms. So I started to rank just early this year, the best venture capital firms in renewable energy. And now they're reaching out to me saying, hey, add my VC firm right. in there. So I'm seeing potential here. And I come from the VC world on the day job. So it's a very good, you know, connection of me just doing that. So anyway, that's one example. Another one was in a WordPress niche. I think that was a mistake of mine. It was a very high authority domain, DR50 as well, but I just could not get the traction there. I could not put the time in it. It's a very tough niche overall. It's a very much longer term play. So I exited that just this month, actually.
So, okay. So it sounds like you're just targeting actually the more competitive niche where the bigger opportunity is.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You mentioned that like, you're mostly affiliate and ads. I mean, if you looked at just doing like any pure info sites, I guess you're not doing e-commerce or dropshipping either. But in terms of other kind of monetization, do you ever look to do kind of digital products, building a mailing list, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So let's talk about one of the case studies and I can get to the mailing list. So I had bought a site for $23,000. I was earning $300 a month. So I paid a 75x multiple on FlipUp. Nobody else would do that. Right? And that's why I get those deals. So under 50K, I don't care what price I'm paying because that's my sweet spot. I'm willing to pay a huge multiple to get the deal because when I'm doing my due diligence, the 5 minutes, I see the easy wins, right? I'm seeing that I can buy this within 1 month, I can double earnings, right? So I bought it and then within 1 month, it's earning 3,000. So I doubled it, right? Now I have, you know, that website's going to pay itself off within a year, right? So that's what I'm looking for, those kind of deals. And that site, you know, those easy wins we can get to, but specifically that had a mailing list that was a very old site, 2010, so it's very aged, had 100,000 visitors already on the site, making $300 a month, which the math there, if anybody's been in this game long enough, it should be much more. So, you know, those fixes happen. And then, you know, building out an email list on that with a digital, a Tripwire product, and then, you know, upselling to digital products. So that is happening. It has a 19,000 email list. That, you know, the goal is to keep growing that. And that's part of my vertical outdoor play, that indie outdoor niche.
So when you bought that site, did it come with a mailing list or have you just built that yourself kind of over time?
It did come with the mailing list. It was abandoned. I went through hell and a lot of email service providers complaints to get that back into a good, you know, operating. Stage, right? It's not easy. I would say there's a lot of sellers out there, that say, hey, this site has an email list of 5,000. And then when you get into it, say, I haven't emailed this list in, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, that dead list is dead. You cannot revive that list very easily. You're going to go through hell. Your email service provider is going to say you have too many spam complaints. They're going to shut down your account. Happened to me with AWeber. So if that's do not value an email list unless it's been emailed every single week at a bare minimum for in the last 1 to 2 months of when you're before you're acquiring.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a good tip. Yeah, that makes sense. So, so the site that you bought for that was doing $300 a month. So you 10x'd it. You didn't double it, did you? It's $3,000 a month within
a
month.
10x'd.
So,
yeah,
that's a pretty good return. Yeah. So you're looking at an asset of more like $100,000 as opposed to what did you pay? Did you say 23?
I paid 23. Yeah. And now it's earning 8K. So after 8 months of ownership.
Wow. Yeah. So that just goes to show. Yeah. Like so. Yeah. Did it have a lot of traffic? That you said?
Yeah, 100,000 page views a month.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, even just putting ads on that is a very quick win, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for that site, we could talk about as well if there are any other quick wins that you did. But let's talk about that site. If there's any other quick, what did you do to kind of turn that site into $3,000 a month or 8,000 it is now?
Yeah. So when when I look at a site, you know, just in general, I get Google Analytics access. I look at the top 10 to 20 pages, right? Immediately, I'm looking at, are those 10 to 20 pages? So I apply the 80-20 rule to niche website building all the time, right? Are the 10, 20 pages at the top getting enough traffic so that I can then go in there and add different, you know, elements in there, and I'll get to the elements, but like focus on the top 10 pages, improve the earnings there, and then, you know, take those tactics and put it on the rest of the site. So those top 10, 20 pages were commercial content, a mix of commercial and information, although mostly commercial content. The owner did not have comparison tables. They did not have affiliate call to action buttons. They did not have any of those basic CRO techniques that we're used to, right? So within a week, you know, I added comparison tables, mobile responsive comparison tables. I see a lot of sites that have comparison tables and they don't have mobile responsive comparison tables. So that's an easy win for our owner to buy that and just make it mobile responsive. Most traffic is mobile these days. They also don't link the image, right? The image within the comparison table to the affiliate. So image is the highest click element on a page. And then, you know, the easy win on that one was that they had the reviews, but they didn't have any call to action or product boxes just to, you know, tie that review off. So those were the quick ones that got it to the 3K, right, within a month.
Yeah, cool. And as time's gone on, you've assuming that one's you're at least holding for now. I mean, have you added more content too? Built links, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So links. I'm very picky. I am not a very heavy backlink builder. And so I buy sites that are very aged and have good backlink profiles already, either expired domains or sites that have a good history. So this site I have is a DR50. It was a 2010 DR50, never dropped, like this hobbyist builder. So my theory is I buy sites and these don't come up often, right? 1 to 2 a year. I buy sites from hobby type niche site creators, people who really know the topic and they just don't know what's the business around it, right? And then they go on Flipa, which is the best place to find these, and then they sell it, right? And you know, I'm paying much more higher multiples because I get that good deal, but they already have good backlinks. They have high backlinks from New York Times, Forbes. So I don't need to focus early on the backlinks, which I haven't done for until now. I will focus on that in 2021 to build backlinks to the sub pages. I didn't catch the second question on that.
No, I think the other part was, are you more aggressive than on adding content?
Yes. Yeah, I heard early on 75 articles a month. I have a dedicated team that I've hired for this site. And so that's where I'm getting into a vertical play, right? So I spend I do things in three stages. So I have a growth stage, which is, you know, get the revenue up as quickly as possible within a 3-month time frame. And during that time frame, I'm hiring writers. I am, you know, doing CRO. I'm doing SEO. I'm doing all of that, right? And then it's the stabilization stage. So now I have done all these CRO. Now let's look at the data, see what new revenue streams I can add and whatnot. So during the growth stage, I'm putting out, I would put the 75 articles, I have three writers that are actually niche experts in this topic. And now it's down to about 30 articles as we speak. So it's, you know, it's a, still a lot of content. And the goal is 20 to 30 articles a month for the next 12 months.
Okay, for sure. Yeah. I'm similar to you and I kind of build a lot of content. I find that works for me and it always has, but the, you know, there's definitely a more, a louder voice that's rising, I guess, in the industry to some extent for, with an argument of actually having less articles, but going back and optimizing them more regularly. But do you, I mean, I guess you go back and optimize later, but also, you know, do you have a consideration about culling content, yes. Today as well?
Yeah, because I buy age sites, right? The site when I bought it had 400 articles. So after getting the site stabilized in the stabilization stage, which is month 3 to 9, right? What I'm doing there is, you know, figuring out what content I put out that's working and doubling down, but also doing a content audit and removing content the previous owner had, right? Either 301 or just deleting it to better articles. And that, you know, that gets a small boost in traffic. But really what it does, it just cleans up the site, the user experience and all of that. I can't say that doing that has led to a 10x growth. That's not how it works. It's just, you know, it's just cleaning out your garage, right? You do it because you have to. It's just improving the foundation of your site.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And going back to the backlinks, I guess once you've got a domain that's got decent authority and actually you're getting a lot of traffic, you get into this kind of state where you're just organically picking up links anyway, because you're getting so much visibility in the SERPs, you're getting so much traffic, you'll just get some. You'll get links anyway, and you're just going to grow that more naturally and more organically. It's more difficult at the start when you've got nothing.
Yeah.
But definitely once.
And what I have seen. Yeah, sorry. What I have seen is when you acquire a site that's actually, you know, well-known and aged and has those good backlinks, when I reach out to other competitors of mine for guest posts, right, I'm doing very strategic guest posts on, you know, I know about 10 to 20 blogs in my space that are my competitors in a way. And I reach out to them and say, look, I have a dedicated team of people, you know, these guys can actually do hands-on reviews and we'll give you an article. They say, yes, I don't pay. I have not paid for a guest post and I've done about 10 of these, right? So these are very strategic guest posts. I'm not doing the, you know, the content mill guest posts or, you know, the typical niche site. Now, these sites on their own are DR50s and they're getting millions, much more than I am. So, you know, if you're building, and so that's what my transition has been over the last few years, is focus on a few projects, build them out to be really, really high quality. And, you know, the links just come naturally over time and or the partnerships just happen naturally over time.
Yeah, cool. Going back to the expired domains a little bit, what is it that you would say? I'll start with the first question. So, like, what is it that you look for in an expired domain? What makes you kind of attracted to it?
Yeah, so, I mean, brandable domain, of course, that's an easy one. But mostly, I'm looking, first thing I do when I find a domain that looks interesting is Ahrefs. I look at the backlinks. So, I'm looking at, does it have any high quality backlinks? Like, I'm not going to buy an expired domain that doesn't have links from very high tier, you know, publications, CNN, New York Times, Forbes, or, you know, or niche relevant domains, sites, in that topic, because otherwise I can just build from scratch. There's no reason to, right? So, you know, the DR doesn't really matter. It's just the backlink profile that matters. And if you want to enter a niche, you'll know the different sites in that niche. And if you find they're linking to that, that's a good sign. I'm also then going into archive.org to just look at the history of the site. What design changes have happened? Has the topic ever changed? Because we want topical relevancy throughout the history of the site, right? And of course, if the site can have different owners, it can go down for a while, it can have a design change, but if it's a kitchen site, it should remain a kitchen site. It shouldn't go into something else, right? That, and then, you know, those two things, when they click, you know, I'm then looking at, I'm going deeper, right? Those are the first quick things to look at. And then I'm going deeper and looking at which pages have the backlinks. Can I recreate those pages with content? Does it make sense to recreate those pages? And, you know, those kind of tactics are going on at a later stage. And then I'm acquired the domain.
Okay. Yeah, totally makes sense. So with the sites that you've, this is a difficult question. So, but like, you know, with the sites that you have built on expired domains, do you think you can put your finger on, like, you know, where some have taken off really quickly and succeeded and others haven't? Are you able to put your finger on any reasons why maybe some do work and some don't?
Yeah, I don't think anybody can. It's the difficult one, you know. I have limited expertise. I haven't done expired domains for 12 years. You know, I've been buying sites for 12 years. And I also enter very, very tough niches. So I don't know if it's because of the niche that's not working for me. It's because of the content or the domain as an issue, right? So I just blame the niche that is too tough, but it could be the domain. So I don't have a sample size where I can give a good answer.
And I said it was a difficult question because I don't know the answer to that question as well. And it's just so hard to tell. You know, you can't guarantee anything. And, you know, we sell expired domains and niche website builders with a packaging. And, you know, we always make it clear. It's like, you know, it's just because it's an Asian expired domain doesn't mean it's guaranteed anything more. Right. There's definitely an opportunity to rank quicker and there's more upside. You know, it's a great way to buy a built-in link profile. You know, if you're buying a domain with 300 referring domains, that'll cost you a lot more money or time to try and get to that point from a fresh domain than if just spending a couple of thousand dollars on a domain. So it's got lots of positives, but it's like any of this, like none of it's guaranteed in any way. So every site's different. Right. Every domain's different. Every niche is different. You could have two websites in the same niche, right? And it's still different. So
exactly. Yeah.
Cool. So you have a site. So you've got your newsletter, the website Flip. And then you've got another site, which is easywins.io. That's right, isn't it? And this is kind of sharing some of the tips and tricks you kind of learned over doing all these deals and growing all these sites. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and kind of what that involves?
Yeah. So I was seeing a gap, which is, you know, there's two ends of the spectrum that's in our industry that's fully satisfied. The first is getting beginners to know, teaching them how to build sites. There's plenty of courses, you know, YouTube videos, plenty of content around that. And then there's the other side of selling a site. There's plenty of brokers that have content. There's courses on how to sell a site, you know, all of that, right? There, but in the middle, there's a blank spot. It's, okay, now you've built up a site and you want to exit one day, what do you do, right? I see a lot of discussion in Facebook groups like, oh, should I do this to increase the revenues, right? And so I thought, okay, what is a strategic tool somebody can buy? So I built a database of all the strategies that I have tested, found that others in the industry have found success. I share those, right? I share example screenshots from sites that do that. I share what tool can be used to get that done, if it's a plugin or if it's a manual thing, right? I share that. I then also rank it based on impact. So if it's a high impact, it's a 5 out of 5. If it's a low impact in terms of, you know, the impact of revenue growth on your site. And then I also rank it based on effort. Is this going to take a ton of effort? 5 out of 5 is a lot of effort or low effort, right? So the goal is somebody would buy this. They already have a site. This is not for a beginner product, right? I'm not targeting that. I'm targeting the people who have maybe 1 to 5 sites and people who have portfolios, right? That want to just look through this list, organize it by impact and effort, and then pick 5 or 6 of these, apply it to a site, and then work their way down the list. And essentially, I use these tactics, so I 10x growth on my sites with these tactics, and essentially then exit the site and repeat.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess, you use these tactics yourself, so I guess you can prioritize them into the highest impact, and I guess that's kind of some of the stuff that you work on first for your sites too. So in terms of, I guess in terms of the 80-20 rule and, like, you know, of SEO, like, What do you see people doing too much of that they probably shouldn't be doing so much of, like focusing too much time and attention on? And what do you see is like where they should be focusing their attention? Or where do you think that people should be doing that? Yeah.
Never. Yeah, good question. So I think most people want their website to look like the best website out there visually. I see a lot of people spending a ton of time formatting, structuring their content on their site. So what I do, I mean, I'm putting out 50 to 75 articles a month on one site, right? I cannot have a team always making every article nice, right? So I have a team that, you know, publishes the content and make sure the SEO is done right, on page SEO, the headers, you know, all of that, the descriptions, you know, the category, those are done. I don't even add Amazon links or affiliate links or anything early on. I only do that when my page gets a higher traffic threshold, like it passes 50 visitors organically a month, the last 30 days, right? That's when I go back and I double down and improve the CRO of that page, right? So of the 70 articles, maybe 20 will do good. The others will take longer to get to that 50 threshold, right? It might take 6 months. Some might go well 1 month. So I'm saying for the niche site builders, just, you know, don't worry about visuals yet. Just get your site ranking, get the traffic. That gets your motivation up, right? To keep working on the site. I see motivation lacking early on, and that's because they spent hours either writing their own content and then hours structuring and styling the content, and then they lose motivation. So, you know, that's one that definitely doesn't need that much effort. And, you know, that ties into, you know, a theme. Which theme should I pick? I use the same theme across all my sites, and it's GeneratePress. I know it. I love it. The founders are great. You know, there's others like Astra. You know, pick one and stick with it, study it, learn it, and don't think about another one, right? Just your business is publishing content to bring traffic. It's not to build the most beautiful site in the world. You can do that later when your site makes tens of thousands of dollars. You can hire people to do that for you. So yeah, those things.
Yeah, cool. And what about in terms of like technical SEO and site audits and things like that?
Yeah.
I would see. Yeah. You know, people are always trying to max out the scores on the hoses. I think anything that's measurable, I think people is where you see people, like site speed, like the site audits, that's where people are spending a lot of time. And when it almost, that's the, that's where you should be spending the least time. Just get it done once to a good level and kind of move on.
Yeah.
And that's because everything else isn't measurable. Content isn't measurable. Links aren't that measurable. It's quite hard to see the impact of those, but these stuff is. And
That's a good point. And that's what I was, you know, referring to. Just pick a theme that's fast, whatever that is. Use a host that's fast. I use Cloudways, right?
Yeah.
DigitalOcean, best of the best, right? And that just gets you to a point where you're better than 90% of the sites out there. Let's be honest, right? Because that's all you really need to do. And then use a caching plugin, WP Rocket. And these are part of the easy wins, right? I share these things and why those work, right? Because that's the technical part of it is what I do very quickly initially on the site, and I never worry about that again, right? So, you know, caching plugin, image compression plugin, you know, those things are a must. And then once that's done, that's the foundation that you need to build on, right? And then also, you know, I use Rank Math and Yoast SEO. I ignore what they say in terms of the score, right? I know what on page I need to do. I need to have my keywords in the introduction, somewhere in the conclusion, a few times throughout the article, in my headers, and that's it. Right? I'm ranking just fine, bringing hundreds of thousands of traffic. Later on, when I know that I'm kind of dropping in the SERPs for some of these articles, that's when I can use tools like Surfer SEO or Phrase or Market News to go back and improve that content, improve that article. But that happens like a year down the road after that content is published, right? So yeah, just focus on what's important early on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, content for me, it's always just content. Like that's the first thing. Just keep piling on the content, and like you'll hit more keywords, more traffic will come.
So
we've already kind of mentioned like a pretty big win where you kind of you bought a site for 300 and 8 months later it's now earning 8,000 a month, which is a pretty good return on investment. I mean, is that your biggest win, or are there others that you could say?
No, I another one in 2000. So that was in 2020 April, the one I spoke about, and I still own that. In 2019, I bought a site, same idea from Flippa. It was making $1,000. I paid $32K for it. So that was a more or less normal multiple. It was in the dating niche, but I saw immediate wins on that one as well. And that's not in Amazon. That's not that's traditional affiliate marketing, where there's much more fun there, and I'll get to why. So that earned at its peak $15K. Right now it's about at, this month will end at 11,000. It's had a nice up and down history. Google update in May 2020, May or April, it hit it. And then December it recovered. We're not back to its original peak, but still it's chugging along at the 10K. Now that one, what the most easiest win was, I saw an affiliate offer being promoted on that site. It was through one of a network, Max Bounty or ClickBooth. It's typical affiliate networks where you can find affiliate offers. It was getting a $45 CPA, so cost per acquisition, it's cost per sale from the lead sale, right? And I saw, you know, within during my due diligence, that same company has their own private affiliate program. Now, I don't know what rate they're offering, but it's pretty obvious that the affiliate network, ClickBooth, you know, whatever, they're taking a cut, right? They're maybe taking $5 to $10 off that sale. So I bought the site within a week, got in touch with that company and said, look, I want to switch my traffic over to you guys, right? And it's a good amount, right? About 30 to 50 sales a month. And I said, I want to switch over. What offer can you guys give me? You know, they put me at $60. That's a $15 increase in CPA. And that just, you know, that just increased the revenue right there. I didn't do anything to the site
yet. Yeah.
There is no comparison tables. And that's when I started adding pop-ups, comparison tables, call to action button. Then that tripled the earnings. And, you know, over time, we put more content and then the easy win started to kick in. So, yeah.
Cool. So do you mainly focus on private affiliate deals as opposed to like maybe Amazon and stuff generally, or is it a mix?
I'm getting away more and more from Amazon. Yeah. So, you know, their commission cuts always have hit me in the past. So now my outdoor site has Amazon. There's no way you can run away from any e-commerce type brand and just not use Amazon. So Amazon is always there. But initially when I bought the site, it was 100% Amazon at $300 a month. Now I am, you know, at 8 to 10K a month with only 20% being Amazon. And then I have other affiliates through ShareASell network, through private deals that I have done, some private easy wins that I have done. That's pretty interesting is I went through my Amazon Associates report to look at what are some of the products that are high value, $250 plus. And they have a Shopify store, an e-commerce store, something like separate, right? So I contacted them and said, look, I'll drive sales. I'll continue to drive sales to your Amazon. I'll put you at the number one spot. It's a good product, so I can recommend it. But I want a 20% commission privately on the side, and I'll get whatever from Amazon. That's a win for them because I am driving organic traffic to them. That's boosting them up in the Amazon FBA algorithm so they get, you know, up there. And, you know, I'm getting a win because I know the Amazon average order size on a cart. I get commissions for everything. And then I get a private deal every month. I send them an invoice and they pay that. So that's, you know, those kind of tactics that's going to, you know, you're still stuck on Amazon, but you're still making 24% average commissions, which is great.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I mean, that's what we recommend for our clients. Mostly you don't take Amazon off. You just add other options. And so, yeah, if people want to use Amazon, they can, but if they use something else and you get better commission for it, then that's even better. Because for a lot of niches, especially like you've just spoken about there, like the outdoor niche, Amazon's still the best one. It still gets the better. But even though the percentage is lower, conversions are better. They're the masters of upsell. Yes. So upselling in the cart is better. So as much as it's painful, like quite often they're still the best option, but there's no, that doesn't stop you from adding additional buttons to the site for other affiliates. So, cool. And, in terms of, you know, I'm sure that you've had a fair few, things that didn't go so well over the years. So can you share any stories of those times when,
Yeah, I mean, Google updates, that hits everybody. Both of my sites have been hit in the May Google update, right? May 2020. No explanation. As I said, I don't do any shady backlink building. Most of the backlinks have been very legitimate. I buy sites with quality backlinks, and they're not expired domains. So, just random. They both recovered in December, so that's great.
Interesting.
I didn't do anything special. All my sites recovered. I don't know why. I can't tell you an answer to that. Nobody can. If anybody's selling the snake oil, run away. Nobody knows. So it's all just luck. But yeah, in the past, I used to do, this is recent, but in the past, I used to buy sites that had PBNs. I've got hit significantly on that. I bought a site from a brokerage, a very well-known brokerage that had a PBN network on it. That whole network went down. So then my site, about 200 sites, and it was a mess. From then on, I have never done PBNs. I have actually very minimally built backlinks. I'm just not an outreach expert. I just don't, just doesn't work for me. So yeah, I mean, those are, Google updates aside, buying bad deals, I buy such undervalued, distressed websites that it doesn't really matter because I get the quick win so, quickly that my return on investment is there, right? So it's like buying distressed real estate property that's really a broken down building on a really good street, right? So it's just fixing that up and the value just is there. And whatever I do with it, I still get my money back, worst case. So that's just how I buy. And other people buy, at typical multiples, I buy much higher, but really undervalued sites. And, that's just my strategy. But it's not easy to do that. You can't find the deals always, right?
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I guess was there any times where you bought a site where, your due diligence wasn't quite as good as it is today, and and therefore you've
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say that was the PBN sites
Yeah.
that I bought. I just didn't know,
Right,
right?
right.
I didn't know for any better. The industry was hot on PBNs during those years, and it's like, let's try it. But apart from that, I mean, no, I can't think of any that went really that
Yeah,
bad
okay.
than the
Cool.
PBNs.
Okay, kind of just like kind of sort of wrap up. So, I mean, where do you see the industry going in the future? Like, yeah.
No, we talked about that earlier on, but just to recap, I see multiples going up. We see Empire Flippers and those guys, pushing up multiples. They kind of drive the industry forward. Everybody else follows. Privately, I have not seen multiples go up, like private deals that I'm doing through Flippa or through Facebook groups. People are typically still at the 30 to 35x, not the 40 to 50x yet. That's great for a buyer. It sucks for the seller. So yeah, multiples, but will naturally go up. I'm seeing, bigger because I have this newsletter, the website flip.com. I see a lot of private equity companies that have big pockets, messaging me like, do you have deals in the 300 to 500,000? Do you have deals in the seven figure? I don't, but I see this interest. I didn't see it before, right? So that's just going to naturally drive it up. I'm seeing a lot of e-commerce brands that are acquiring a content sites. So one e-commerce brand I can't say who, but a coffee brand e-commerce is acquiring one of the biggest coffee content sites out there, getting millions of page views a month because there's a strategic buy there. So that's going to happen as these brands realize that ad spend is not that profitable. Facebook, Google ad spend, they're seeing that, doing deals with affiliates who have the eyes is a better, and they're just going to acquire those sites. So, I'm seeing multiples going up and I'm seeing strategic acquisitions. And, also more and more people are entering the space and building up websites. That's bringing more competition. So that's also, back when I started, there wasn't much competition. And now it's like everybody has a site in the kitchen niche, right? It's just, so you got to be smarter on what projects you work on in 2021.
That totally makes sense. And personally, in terms of yourself, what are your plans in the short and kind of longer term?
Yeah, I have put a, you know, I it's so I'm a Flippa broker as well, and I, I'm a very active active buyer on Flipbot. So I see things, I buy, it's very hard to say no, but I have made it a goal in 2021 that I will not buy any more websites unless it's like a very killer deal. I'm just going to double down on the portfolio that I do have now and also double down on my newsletter because I really enjoy that and just focus. 2021 is a focus year and then we'll see what 2022
brings. You know, it's like a drug. You're weaning yourself off. So have you, I need to ask you then, have you got any websites this year yet?
No, but December 31st, I bought a website. So it was the last one. And then, that will be turned into a case study, but, I will not buy hopefully anymore throughout the year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Cool. I think we'll wrap out there. Like, thanks again for your time today. If, people want to learn more about you, yeah, tell us where they can go.
Yeah, I'm very active on Facebook. You know, don't cold message me, but you'll see me active in comments in different groups. If you want to email me, the website flip.com. That's my newsletter. And also, you know, you can reach out to me with any questions there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks again for your time. Really good talking to you. Lots of great tips there. So yeah, thanks again. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, as this will allow us to grow our audience and create more shows like this one. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click on the bell to be the first to know about any new episodes that we release. Until the next episode, goodbye.